Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Today, 7 months after their last appearance, General David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker are on Capitol Hill again, facing the Senate and tough questions about the war in Iraq. This hour, On Point will listen in on Petraeus and Crocker and their testimony this morning before the Senate Armed Services Committee. With us to do that, Ambassador James Dobbins, Director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center, the RAND Corporation, former U.S. Special Envoy for Afghanistan, Somalia, Haiti, Bosnia, and Kosovo, part of the team that produced the Iraq Study Group report. In his opening statement today, General Petraeus said the situation in Iraq is improving.
Moreover, as events in the past 2 weeks have reminded us, and as I have repeatedly cautioned, the progress made since last spring is fragile and reversible. Still, security in Iraq is better than it was when Ambassador Crocker and I reported to you last September, and it is significantly better than it was 15 months ago when Iraq was on the brink of civil war and the decision was made to deploy additional forces to Iraq.
At his side, Ambassador Ryan Crocker, in his opening statement this morning before the Senate Armed Services Committee, discussing here the recent violence in Basra.
News from Iraq in recent weeks has been dominated by the situation in Basra. Taken as a snapshot, with scenes of increasing violence and masked gunmen in the streets, it is hard to see how this situation supports a narrative of progress in Iraq. And there is still very much to be done to bring full government control to the streets of Basra and eliminate entrenched extremist, criminal, and militia groups. But when viewed with a broader lens, the Iraqi decision to take on these groups in Basra has major significance.
There we hear Ambassador Ryan Crocker. In this meeting, of course, the Democratic chairman, Carl Levin of Michigan, Edward Kennedy here, Robert Byrd, Joseph Lieberman, Jack Reed of Rhode Island, and more on the Republican side. John McCain is there, John Warner, James Inhofe, Jeff Sessions of Alabama, Susan Collins of Maine. Of course, Hillary Clinton is in the hall as well. Advance. Senator Warner, right now, Republican, former chairman of the committee from Virginia, questioning Ambassador Ryan Crocker.
A political one. And I look upon these as an opportunity to say to the Iraqis, this is your chance, and we want a greater momentum towards political reconciliation. Can you tell us that that will try to be an element of the negotiations?
It certainly would be my intention to make it so in the context of the strategic framework agreement.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Warner. Senator Lieberman?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, General and Ambassador. Thank you for your extraordinary service in the cause of freedom in Iraq. I must say that as I listen to your testimony, which is encouraging and yet quite realistic and, in my opinion, not overstated, you've told us that the strategy associated with the surge is working. Progress has been made, but it's entirely reversible. You've been very frank about some of the problems that we still face. I say what I'm about to say with respect to my colleagues who have consistently opposed our presence in Iraq. As I hear the questions and the statements today, and it seems to me that there's a kind of hear no progress in Iraq, see no progress in Iraq, and most of all, speak of no progress in Iraq. The fact is there has been progress in Iraq, thanks to extraordinary effort by the two of you and all those who serve under you on our behalf. I wish we could come to a point where we could have an agreement on the facts that you are presenting to us, the charts you've shown, the military progress, the extraordinary drop in ethno-sectarian violence, the drop in civilian deaths, the drop in American deaths, the very impressive political progress in Iraq since last September. Hey, let's be honest about this. The Iraqi political leadership has achieved a lot more political reconciliation and progress in September than the American political leadership has. So we've got to give some credit for that. I repeat, I wish we could have an agreement on the facts, which you've presented. You work for us. I don't distrust those facts. And I wish we could go from an agreement on those facts to figure out how we can move to more success so we can bring more of our troops home. That's apparently not going to happen in the near future. I want to ask you a question about Iran, because both of you have spoken with great seriousness about the continuing Iranian threat. Senator Kennedy asked a question about the Iraqi government initiative in southern Iraq and said there was no al-Qaeda there. As you said, General Petraeus, there is no al-Qaeda there. But there are Iranian-backed special forces that, from what you've told us today, continue to threaten what's our real goal in Iraq, which is not just to defeat al-Qaeda, it's to help stand up a self-governing, self-defending Iraqi government. So talk to us about, let me ask you first, are the Iranians still training and equipping Iraqi extremists who are going back into Iraq and killing American soldiers?
Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, questioning
correct,
General Petraeus.
In fact, we have detained individuals, four of the 16 so-called master trainers, for example, are in our detention facility. You may recall that last year we detained the head of the special groups and also the deputy commander of Lebanese Hezbollah Department 2800, which is working with the Iranian Quds Force to train, equip, fund, and also direct the special groups. The special groups' activities have, in fact, come out in greater relief during the violence of recent weeks. It is they who have the expertise to shoot rockets more accurately, shoot mortars more accurately, and to employ some of the more advanced material, the explosively formed projectiles and the like, that have not just killed our soldiers and Iraqi soldiers, but also have been used to assassinate two southern governors in past months,
right,
and two southern police chiefs. So they are a serious concern. I believe that this has brought out in greater relief for the Iraqi government as well, because they have conveyed directly to their Iranian interlocutors their concerns about the activities of the Quds Force with the special groups and recognize the very clear threat that they present to security in Iraq.
Is it fair to say that the Iranian-backed special groups in Iraq are responsible for the murder of hundreds of American soldiers and thousands of Iraqi soldiers and civilians?
It certainly is. I do believe that is correct. Again, some of that also is militia elements who have then subsequently
right.
been trained by these individuals. But there's no question about the threat that they pose, and again, about the way that has been revealed more fully in recent weeks.
Ambassador Crocker, picking up on something General Petraeus just said, though we all have questions about the recent Iraqi government initiative under Prime Minister Maliki's leadership in the south in Basra, is it not possible that there's something very encouraging about that initiative, which is that it represents a decision by the Maliki government in Baghdad to not tolerate the Iranian-backed militias essentially running wild and trying to control the south of his country?
Senator, that's an excellent question.
Ambassador Ryan Crocker responding here to Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman.
I look at it through a political lens, obviously more than I can a military.
Right.
General Petraeus has described some of the military perspectives of that. The political ramifications, I think, are distinctly more positive, because that is exactly the signal that the operation has sent within Iraq and one would hope in the region, that this Iraqi government is prepared to go after extremist militia elements, criminal elements of whatever sectarian identity they may be.
U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker responding here to a question from Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman about the influence of Iran in the south of Iraq. A number of questions on that front. Ambassador James Dobbins joins us. Ambassador Dobbins, what do you make of Senator Lieberman's pressing this point of the Iranian hand?
Well, one of the administration's main rationales for remaining in Iraq is to contain Iran and reduce Iranian potential influence in Iraq. There's no doubt that the U.S. and Iran are engaged in a contest for influence in Iraq, and Iran has a number of cards in that. It is true that Iran is aiding extremist militia groups that attack the United States. It's also true that Iran is assisting all of the Shia groups, including groups that are associated with the government, and that Iran has quite good relations with the government and with the Shia elements in the government, as was evidenced during President Ahmadinejad's visit to Iraq only a couple of months ago. So Iran is playing a very complicated game. It's hedging its bets. It's making life uncomfortable for the United States. Ultimately, Iraq is not going to be stable unless the United States and Iran and the other neighbors of Iraq come to some kind of accommodation and recognize that a peaceful Iraq is in all of their interests. And that means that we have to stop regarding this, and they have to stop regarding this as a zero-sum game that we're both engaged in to minimize the influence of the other.
Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut just wrapping up his questioning there. We are listening in on testimony this morning before the Senate Armed Services Committee by General David Petraeus, Commander, U.S. Forces in Iraq, and Ambassador Ryan Crocker, U.S. Ambassador there. Ambassador James Dobbins is with us, served as President Bush's Special Envoy to Afghanistan and Special Envoy to Somalia, Haiti, Bosnia, and Kosovo in the Clinton administration. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are listening in on testimony from this morning before the Senate Armed Services Committee by General David Petraeus, Commander of U.S. Forces in Iraq, and Ambassador Ryan Crocker, U.S. Ambassador to Iraq. Last September, they sat on Capitol Hill and changed the course of the conversation about the Iraq war. Today, they are back looking ahead as a presidential election season heats up. The proceedings have come to the question and answer portion. James Inhofe of Oklahoma has been putting questions to David Petraeus, and we will go to that. Joining us to listen in, Ambassador James Dobbins, former special envoy to Afghanistan, Somalia, Haiti, and more. And with us, Bing West, was a Marine in Vietnam, Assistant Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan, writes frequently on the war in Iraq, military writer for the Atlantic Monthly magazine. Bing West, thank you for joining us. Let's listen in as David Petraeus responds to questioning from Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, Republican.
In this regard, it has resulted most importantly in a recidivism rate, a return to Buka or Cropper, if you will, that is very, very small compared with what it used to be. And we track that because we have the biometrics on each of the individuals who have been in our facilities. So it's an enormous shift. It is something we are trying to capture in our doctrinal manuals so that we can continue to build on this and to perform detainee operations in a much enhanced way over what was done before.
Yeah, that was my observation. Ambassador Crocker, in your opening statement, you referred to the, I believe, Ahmadinejad making the statement that if something happens that we leave precipitously, that there would be a vacuum and he would fill that vacuum. You didn't take much time after that to say what would happen. Either one of you want to comment on what would happen if they were to fill that vacuum?
Senator, I think the developments in Baghdad and Basra over the last couple of weeks have been very instructive on a number of levels. I commented on one of them in response to Senator Lieberman's question. It is also very important in what it shows us of what Iran is doing. Because the general level of violence is down, we could see, I think, much more sharply defined what Iran's role is in the arming and equipping of these extremist militia groups. And what
Ambassador Ryan Crocker responding here to James Inhofe.
Iran is pursuing, as it were, a Lebanization strategy, using the same techniques they used in Lebanon to co-opt elements of the local Shia community and use them as basically instruments of Iranian force. That also tells me, sir, that in the event of a precipitous U.S. withdrawal, the Iranians would just push that much harder.
Yeah, and they said they would do that. Yeah. Last question here. As you well know, the down at Camp Buka, that's real close to Basra where all this is taking place, and I was there right after that took place. I'm a little confused. There's a lot of criticism over the way they performed. According to our troops over there, they were real pleased that they came in when they did with their troops and demonstrated very clearly that they're willing to take on that responsibility. The impression I got from the troops over there is that the Iraqis did what they should do, and they did it. They performed very well.
Sir, I don't want to overstate the performance. However, the Iraqi people down there, by and large, were grateful.
General Petraeus responding to Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe.
Forces by the decision that Prime Minister Maliki took to, in fact, confront militia, criminals, gangs, whatever it might be. And in fact, as I mentioned, the operation is by no means complete. It is continuing. It continues to grow on a much more deliberate basis instead of the more rapid, sudden basis in which it was started and where there was some faltering at the beginning, as I mentioned. They now control the different ports, for example. They control some key areas through which smuggling of weapons as well as other contraband used to go. And so, again, I'm not surprised to hear that comment.
Yeah, okay, my time's expired, but for the record, I'd like to kind of get your opinion as to where we are right now in the numbers, the sheer numbers of the Iraqi security forces. My understanding, we're at about 140,000 now. We want to get up to around 190, but maybe a status for the record.
Be happy to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Inhofe. Senator Reid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. General Petraeus, do you believe
Senator
that the
Reid of Rhode Island,
Mahdi Army, the JAM, will voluntarily disband and disarm at the request of the Prime Minister?
Sir, some elements of the Mahdi Army could be incorporated into legitimate employment and other legitimate activities. Now, standing down at the direction of the Prime Minister is something that would undoubtedly result in violence. However, as you may have seen recently, Muqtada al-Sadr has said that he would stand down the force at the request of the Marja'iyya, of the senior Shia clerics in Najaf. And we're just going to have to see how that plays out in the months ahead.
But unless he is instructed by the senior Shia clergy, he would likely resist that, which would lead, in your words, to accelerated violence within the Shia community.
It depends, again, how it's done, Senator. If you can do this gradually over time with the force in the background that is capable of taking out action and providing alternatives. The key here is actually providing some other means of livelihood. The same problem that, as you know, we had in a number of the different Sunni communities that were in the grip of al-Qaeda.
Well, after the attack in Basra, where the Prime Minister committed to destroy these elements, and then he had to withdraw, I think this is less of an employment problem than an existential problem of the political survival of one or the other. And in those terms, unless there's a voluntary compliance by the Mahdi Army, the alternative for violence seemed to be quite significant. Let's assume that's the case. Will you participate with your military forces in supporting the
First
government?
First of all, there is some voluntary standing down already, Senator. And a number of the Sadr political leaders, in fact, have been engaging and do not want to bring the violence. I mean, everyone has, again, looked into the abyss and said this does not look good let's step back and let's see if there is some alternative that can be followed.
What's the alternative?
Well, the alternative, again, is incorporation in the political process and over time providing some avenue for these young men to, again, participate in the economy and so forth. And that has actually worked in a number of neighborhoods, like West Rashid and a variety of southern communities.
I think that's the same dilemma, and it's been a dilemma now for a year or more with respect to the CLC, the Sons of Iraq, where they are still being paid by us and they're not being assumed, at least 60,000 of them, into the apparatus of the state of Iraq. Is that
it's well over 20,000 now, Senator, have been
60,000 is still not assumed.
I believe it's over 90,000 actually that are on the rolls right now. And that will either be transitioned between 20% and 30% to the Iraqi security forces. And the issue there is one often of illiteracy and or physical disability. But over
Senator
time,
Jack Reed and David Petraeus here going around on militias, Shia and Sunni, and their role, who controls them, what might bring them to disarm or become less of a threat.
So I assume you are giving advice, and the ambassador giving advice to Maliki to go slow, to incorporate the Mahdi army and into the economy and political life of Iraq over many months. Is that the advice you're giving him, or are you giving him any advice at all? It seems to be contradict what he tried to do in Basra.
Basra did go much more suddenly than we expected, Senator. There's no two ways about it. And again, you heard, in fact, the report is a good account. I think that it is accurate to say that he thought perhaps it would be a bit more like when he went to Karbala back last year, and the sheer presence and so forth would be adequate, and that was clearly not the case in Basra. Now, again, in Basra, what has to be done, and they have just announced, for example, $100 million program to begin addressing these kinds of issues, and again, to get some alternative.
Bing West, in New York, if I may, a lot of round and round this morning on the lessons of the Maliki offensive on Basra that he had to withdraw from. John McCain himself with some opening tough questions on that front. How do you interpret the issue that's being poked at here?
The biggest lesson from this is that Maliki is determined to go his own way and to ignore American advice, and this will happen again.
That seems to be something that U.S. forces, including General Petraeus, are not too happy about. What does that say about the state of play in Iraq if the prime minister is in that posture?
It says that there will be continued tension between Maliki and the American officials.
There are other militias. James Dobbins, does that in Basra, fly in the face of the assessment that's being given here this morning, or do you hear General Petraeus agreeing that he's got a real problem with the sitting government in Baghdad, with the Prime Minister of Iraq?
I think both he and Crocker have acknowledged the problem. I think they haven't accentuated it, but it's clear that Maliki acted from their standpoint precipitously and ignored their advice. Again, this cuts both ways. On the one hand, we want an Iraqi government that assumes responsibility and takes initiative. On the other hand, we want one that listens to our advice. Getting that balance right is never easy. I think Bing is right that we can expect Maliki to continue to act in an assertive and willful fashion on occasion. On the other hand, to the extent we give him advice, he ignores it, and then he fails, he may learn from that.
Bing West, I also wonder about Senator Lieberman's comment earlier that he was complaining about a tone of hear no progress, see no progress in some of the critical probing questions from senators today. Yet McCain himself had some of that tone in his opening remarks. John Warner had some of his own. Is it your sense that the senators deserve to be probing and critical in their questioning today without being labeled see no progress, hear no progress?
I think that this is America at its best, is what we're seeing this morning. These senators are being very serious this time. In last September, there was a lot of grandstanding. This time, they are asking basic, essential questions, and I think that the problem General Petraeus has is that he's saying there's progress, and yet he wants a pause. And I think that's frustrating both the Republicans and the Democrats.
A pause in the drawdown of troops this summer.
Yes, you see, if you say there's progress, then they were hoping he'd say, therefore we can withdraw our troops. But when he says there's progress, but I can't withdraw the troops, then they go, eh.
Yeah, Jeff Sessions, Senator Sessions of Alabama, now questioning David Petraeus.
Evaluate our prospects for success today.
Well, as I said, Senator, in my statement, there are innumerable challenges in Iraq in the way ahead, but I do believe that we have made progress, and I also believe that we can make further progress if we are able to move forward as I recommended.
Well, I just want to thank you for an extraordinary demonstration of military leadership, and also I think we would share an affirmation of the American military, who under difficult circumstances have performed so magnificently, to see us move from a time when I think this country was deeply concerned about our prospects in Iraq to a period where we're seeing real progress. And I think we should listen to you about how to enhance that progress, because this is the policy of the United States of America. It's a policy we voted on by three-fourths of both houses of Congress, and we're making progress towards success, and we need to listen to those who helped get us there about how we can maintain it. Ambassador Crocker and General Petraeus, I am curious about this activity, the action in Basra in the south, when Prime Minister Maliki sent troops there. Appreciate your comments to Senator Lieberman, Ambassador Crocker, about the fact that there seems to be in that action a demonstration that the central government is willing to take on Shia extremists, even though they are at base a Shia-supported government. So they're taking on, in some sense, some of their own base support that many on this panel over the months have complained they're not willing to do. It seems to me that they did do that. Now, it does appear that they could have been more effective, perhaps, with better planning. But does
Bing West in New York, your Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, do you take heart from the fact that Shia is willing to take on Shia here, or is that a sign of the difficulty ahead for Iraq?
It's still the essential problem. The Senate is giving a little bit too much credit there. They started and then they stopped. If you're going to take somebody on, figure out a good strategy. Maliki didn't think of a good strategy. So we're almost back to square one. So I'm unwilling at this time to believe that the government is standing up to the militia. They may, but they haven't yet.
We'll take another break here in just a moment, but let's go out listening to Ambassador Ryan Crocker's response to Senator Sessions of Alabama on this point.
During this period before our departure, as was General Petraeus, and the change in tone from other leaders toward the Prime Minister and his government is marked. They do see him as taking a strong stand against illegal elements without regard to their sectarian identity, and that has had enormous impact on the Sunnis, on the Kurds, as well as other Shia. So I'm pretty cautious about labeling defining moments or watersheds. In fact, I'm real cautious, and I certainly won't call what we've seen there that. That will be visible only in retrospect, but I do think it is important.
General Ambassador Petraeus, Crocker putting a best face on the failed effort by Prime Minister Maliki to go in and disarm militias in Basra, saying nevertheless he has stood up here and gained some respect in Iraq for that, a best face interpretation perhaps. Ambassador Crocker and General David Petraeus before the Senate Armed Services Committee this morning. We will listen in more after a short break. Ambassador James Dobbins and Bing West join us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are listening in on testimony this morning before the Senate Armed Services Committee by General David Petraeus, Commander of U.S. Forces in Iraq, and Ambassador Ryan Crocker. Republican Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama has been questioning General Petraeus on Iran, and now Ryan Crocker responding on the issue of Iranian influence in Iraq.
The Prime Minister has gotten such broad-based political support. It is universally known or believed that the Iranians were behind them, so that unhappiness descends on them a bit, too. I think one might look for a reconsideration in Tehran as to just where they want to go in Iraq, because over the long term, as General Petraeus suggests, their interests, I think, are best served by the success of this state and this government. No country other than Iraq itself suffered more under Saddam Hussein than did Iran with that brutal 8-year war. So they should be thinking
strategically. We're joined as we listen by Ambassador James Dobbins at the RAND Corporation now, who is President George W. Bush's special envoy to Afghanistan, special envoy to Somalia, Haiti, Bosnia, Kosovo, and more. Also by Bing West. He was Assistant Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan, military writer for the Atlantic Monthly, author of No True Glory and The Village.
Not sure what to make of it at this point.
Bing West, it does underscore strong Iranian undercurrent of conversation about Iran today. What do you make of that? Many people will wonder if that's a prelude to more U.S. confrontation with Iran or simply a defining what's really going on here.
Oh, I read it the other way. this shows that neither our military nor our diplomats nor our Senate want to face up to the fact that Iran is responsible for the killings of hundreds of American soldiers, and we just as a country cannot bring ourselves to do a thing about it. So we look like wimps, and this is, sort of saying we're hoping Iran reconsiders what it's doing. Well, those are our soldiers that are dying. So I don't think this is a high point in this testimony.
General and we have Senator Daniel Akaka of Hawaii, Democrat, opening up his questioning here.
And also that of our military personnel who have served so well there. General, the Army has been operating with a 15 to 12 deployment to home station ratio for some time now, and has indicated its desire to immediately shift to a one-to-one ratio and, if possible, to a one-to-two ratio. Part of the effort to achieve these numbers has been the increase in Army and strength. But these forces will not be available for deployment for some time. In the near to medium term, especially if a decision is made to freeze further troop withdrawals, the strain on equipment, on our forces, and on their families as well will continue. My question to you, General, is it your understanding that most of the soldiers who return for subsequent deployments to Iraq are getting about 6 months quality time with their families over a three and a half year period?
My expectation would have been that it would be more than that, Senator. There's no question but that there are individuals who are in their third tour in Iraq since it began, but they happen to be individuals that either stayed in a unit that did just cycle back through, did not go off to another assignment in the Army somewhere, didn't go off to a school or what have you. Again, the Army would be the one best to answer what the average dwell time is across the force. There's no question that certain individuals in certain units, if they have stayed in those units over time, may now be on their third tour in Iraq. And there's no question as well that a 15-month tour is very, very difficult on a soldier and on a family. And as I mentioned, the strain on the force is something that I very much took into account when I recommended the continuation of the drawdown of the surge and the way ahead as well. I might note that there is something very special to soldiers about doing what they are doing, however. The 3rd Infantry Division, which is in Iraq right now on its third tour, you'll recall that it spearheaded the advance to Baghdad in the very beginning in the liberation of Iraq and is now back for its third tour. That division just met its reenlistment goal for the entire year at about the halfway mark in this fiscal year. So again, despite how much we are asking of our young men and women in uniform, they do recognize both the importance of what they're doing and I guess this very intangible of being a part of the brotherhood of the close fight, if you will, which is truly unique and special. And they have continued to raise their right hand to volunteer.
General Petraeus responding here on an issue of the strain on the U.S. military that has had a lot of comment from Joint Chiefs of Staff and other top generals in recent weeks and more.
But again, I'm personally keenly aware of this. I mean, I have actually, with respect, I've been deployed now for 4.5 years since 2001 on operations alone, not mentioned training and other activities. And there's no question about the toll that it takes and the challenges that it presents, not just to the soldiers, but to their families.
General, given your perception of the security conditions in Iraq, how long before you feel we will be able to meet the Army's desired dwell ratio?
Sir, again, that has to be a question for the Army. I don't know their force generation.
Again, this is Senator Daniel Akaka
plans,
of Hawaii, Democrat,
what their projections
questioning
are for the
General
bringing
David
on
Petraeus.
Additional brigade combat teams. I know that their initial goal is to try to get back to a 12-month deployment. I'd certainly support that. Again, they're the ones.
Ambassador
that
Dobbins, James Dobbins, listening in here. We have seen a lot in recent days reporting
General,
out of the ranks
chairman,
of generals about concern over strain on the military. Do you hear General Petraeus reflecting that to the degree which with the cry has gone up in Washington?
Indicate that
yes, I mean, clearly the logic of reversing the surge as soon as it had registered significant progress was entirely related both to domestic American politics and pressures within the armed services, particularly the Army, as the result of the strain this was putting on it. And his decision to pause before taking further reductions is an effort to counter that pressure, if you will, at least temporarily. But the fact that he's prepared to review and perhaps recommend further reductions later this summer is an indication that he remains under considerable pressure to do so.
Clearly, there is a widespread
Senator Daniel Akaka of Hawaii again.
That this level of U.S. troop commitment is unsustainable. In your view, General, at what point must the military, in effect, hand over the majority of security responsibilities to the Iraqis so that the burden can be more equitably shared between our two countries so that we can begin the reset of our forces that is so long overdue?
Well, Senator, as I mentioned in my opening statement, there are already many multiples of Iraqi security forces serving in the Iraqi police, border police, army, small air force, navy, and so forth.
And in fact, it is Iraqi security forces who are the cops on the beat, who are performing a vast number of tasks. To be sure, our forces still have the unique capabilities in certain areas when going against Al-Qaeda and other extremist elements. And obviously, we have the enablers, if you will, air support and some logistical capabilities and others that the Iraqis do not yet have but are working on. In fact, one item during Basra was that their C-130 fleet ferried an awful lot of the supplies and casualties to and from Baghdad and Basra.
No firm answer to the question there of when that strain might be more relieved. Bing West, you wrote in January of this year that David Petraeus, like General Ridgway in Korea, has rescued a failing war effort and that victory is within the U.S. grasp. Are you still hearing that in your interpretation, in the testimony that we are hearing today?
Yes, I am, and I'm a little bit surprised, but General Petraeus is so cautious not to be seen as being out in front that I think Senator Lieberman was saying, gee whiz, why don't you talk a little bit more about the progress, because there really is more progress than what we're hearing.
Let's listen in on Susan Collins, Democrat of Maine.
My comments.
I'm sorry, Republican, excuse me, of Maine.
Thank you and Ambassador Crocker for your service. It's been courageous. It's been extraordinary. General, for years this committee has heard that progress is being made in the training and equipping of Iraqi forces. Each year, military commanders come before us and they tell us that Iraqi troops are becoming more and more capable. Today, for example, you testified that the number of combat battalions capable of taking the lead in operations has grown to well over 100. Success always seems to be just around the corner when it comes to training and equipping of Iraqi forces. Yet, when put to the test, the Iraqi forces have performed very unevenly. And it's very disturbing to me to read the press reports that more than 1,000 Iraqi soldiers refused to fight, fled, or abandoned their positions during the battle in Basra. Ultimately, as the ambassador has said this morning, the fate of Iraq is up to the Iraqi people. My concern is as long as we continue to take the lead in combat operations rather than transitioning to more limited missions, the Iraqis are never going to step up to the plate and fight for their country. So my question to you is, why should American troops continue to take the lead in combat operations at this point, after years of training and equipping the Iraqi forces?
Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine with tough questioning here to General Petraeus.
Training and equipping of Iraqi forces.
Well, first of all, Senator, in Basra, we did not take the lead. Basra is a province that is under Iraqi control. Sovereign Iraqi prime minister made a decision to confront a challenge. It was not just a political challenge. This is a militia gang criminals who were threatening the population. And then deployed forces very rapidly, frankly, more rapidly than we thought they could deploy. Over the course of a week, deployed the combat elements of a division. And then they moved very rapidly into combat operations, again, too rapidly, most likely, without setting all the proper conditions and so forth. But they were in the lead. We provided support. We did provide some close air support, TAC helicopters. We augmented their C-130 fleet. Their helicopters are also ferrying in and out of Basra as well. But we clearly did provide a number of enablers. They do not yet have intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance platforms. They don't have counterfire radar. They don't have a sufficiently robust expeditionary logistics structure. They do now provide their own logistics at their own bases, at their own police academies, and all the rest of that. But again, taking that the next step is doing it after you've deployed, again, the better part of a division's worth of combat forces, two brigades within about 36 hours of notification.
General David Petraeus not leaping to a direct answer there from a Republican senator about when U.S. forces in Iraq could more fully hand off to Iraqi forces. Clearly some impatience there from Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine. Ambassador Dobbins, Bing West expressing some surprise at the tone of the hearings today, maybe a little frustration with General Petraeus. He opened up today, saying the situation is still uncertain, progress fragile, reversible. Do you hear a too cautious commander here, or a commander trying to convey the reality of a tough situation?
Well, I certainly hear a cautious commander, and one can understand why. The administration has repeatedly over the last 5 years made promises it couldn't keep, set goals that it couldn't reach, and I think that they've learned the lesson and that they're trying to recapture their credibility by restraining those kinds of promises and recognizing that they, in fact, can't foresee the future, aren't sure where things are going in Iraq, and can't make any firm commitments regarding a pace of withdrawal.
Bing West, last September, General Petraeus' testimony proved quite a springboard for Republicans to take back some of the momentum in the conversation about Iraq. Do you hear that coming out of these hearings, at least today?
I think this is a much more sober hearing where both the Republicans and the Democrats are going to say, okay, we're going to be where we are without any great change, but boy, when we get back to the September hearing, let's hear something more. And so I think this buys another 4 to 5 months.
4 to 5 months in a war that has now extended 5 years. The hearings go on for 2 days, today and tomorrow, before committees of the House. I want to thank each of you for being with us this hour. Bing West in New York, former Assistant Secretary of Defense under President Ronald Reagan. Mr. West, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Ambassador James Dobbins, you've been very good to be with us this morning. We're very grateful to you. Director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at the RAND Corporation. Thank you very much for joining us, Ambassador Dobbins.
Thanks for having me.
The hearings go on. We will follow all the outcomes and highlights. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.